March 22, 2021, it's the Wapro P-Row Show.
If you listen to Archie 3 or 4 years ago with Cecil Taylor, he was playing those up and down triad things that, you know, that really one of your trademarks. But maybe you'd rather not think about that. So.
No, you know, because like it's a big reservoir, man, that we all dip out of. So, you know, and I, like, you never, a lot of times you'll find that a lot of those things, I'd listen to John Gilmore kind of closely before I made Chasing the Train, too. So some of those things on there are really direct influences of listening to this cat, you see. But then I don't know who he's been listening to, so it's
right,
fun.
Pedro Show, happy Monday. Getting near the end, huh? We're into spring now, people. And start off with just a little spiel from John Coltrane. Talk to Frank Kosky, 66. You're in something left in his journey. So sad, 40 years old, you know, same as Franz Kafka. But anyway, it's a big he talks about music being a big reservoir. You know, I'm hoping for the day when music is music and we get into a post-genre situation. All the Berlin walls are gone and music is music. And then something from today's guest, an ineffable A, L, or D, or C, R, I, E, or Y in the snow. That's the title. And, you know, Brother Matt, he's at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point because we're still quite in quarantine mode. But I'm not totally man alone, people, because of software engineers in Estonia with the Righteous Skype invention. I got, the man behind the curtain, Scott. Welcome aboard. Portland, Maine. Great town. The starboard side, people. Not like port side. They're both great towns. And you know what? They're both port towns. Hence the name, maybe.
It's true. We were first, though, damn it.
Yeah. And I was a little south of you in another port town. I was born in Portsmouth.
Oh, no way. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I wouldn't shit you, Scott. Yeah. My pop was a sailor, right? And that the Newport News is big Navy base. But if you look on the map, you realize Vietnam is closer to this port side. So 1967, he got orders. He's a machinist, mate, engine room guy. And So I've been in Pedro for 54 years now. But I've toured a lot, and I've been in your town a lot, or near the big town in Maine. You know, I played at college once, but I think all my gigs have been Portland, Maine. But there was a college once that was not in the town. Kenny Bunkport. Remember one of our presidents used to have a vacation pad, right?
Yeah, and Kenny Bunkport. That's right. The Elder Bush.
That's right. Now, let's talk about your journey through music. Scott, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, man. The one I think, obviously you can never put an absolute date on any of these things, but I have a memory of playing, you remember those little portable arcade games they had in the early 80s?
With the quarter?
Not the ones. They were like home consoles that you'd put four batteries in the back, and you could play Miss Pac-Man or whatever. I have a vivid memory of playing one of those while two of my aunts, who were babysitting me, were dancing to Steve Miller's Abracadabra. And that feels like my earliest musical memory. I loved that song. And, you know, there's a ton of other candidates, but that's the one that seems to dominate when I consider what is the earliest, because I was very small. I know that much.
Sure. But it's a Wofford Pedro show, so no hard questions and no wrong answers. You know, I got a buddy. He's living in Berlin now, Brother Shige, and he did a whole fucking shtick with the fucking 8-bit, the Game Boy.
Right.
You know, like, you know what I mean? Albums worth of music just using the shit he plucked out of there somehow. He accessed it. So in this pad, was this in Maine?
Yeah. No, I grew up, I was born in Portland. Didn't ever really move very far away, at least not for long.
Okay, yeah, opposite of what the acorn. Yeah. The acorn never fall. Bullshit. That tree wants a bird or a squirrel to eat it and shit it way far away. Anyway, enough about reality. In that pad you grew up in, Scott, was there any instruments?
No. Actually, I have a very, very, very big... the nuclear family is not very big, but I grew up around a lot of cousins, a lot of aunts, a lot of uncles, a lot of second cousins, and not one of them played any music of any kind. So that was my trip completely.
And what about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Later, I joined the marching band and the choir, I think in maybe 10th or 11th grade, like right towards the end, after I was already way into music. I realized, like, oh, I can join this well after everybody else. And somebody gave me a tuba, and I played the tuba.
Tuba, some bass clef, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. And big mouthpiece, so easy to march with.
For sure.
I heard the bone was good for that, too. So, okay, since that wasn't your gateway drug to musicals, tell me the first record you bought with your own money.
With my own money? I know the first cassette I ever had, specifically cassettes, was was Ozzy's Bark at the Moon.
Oh, yeah.
I was a child metalhead for sure. I have a brother 9 years older than me, and he thought it was cute to get me into the heavy metal that he was listening to. So that was the foundational stuff for me. It was a lot of 70s and 80s classic rock and heavy metal. And Ozzy Bark at the Moon.
Scott, he a listener or a player also?
He had a guitar. He tried to play it, but it eventually, which I realize contradicts what you asked, but I'd forgotten he had that guitar.
That's a trick question, see? That's why Don Trump never went on the witness stand.
No.
It's just coincidence that happened. I just was, I was just trying to show you, Brother Scott, I'm listening to every word you say. Okay. What about the first gig you went and saw?
Ooh, good question. Well, with that brother, I went and saw when I was maybe 7. Aerosmith and Dokken would technically be the first band I ever saw.
They were from Redondo Beach here, I think, somewhere in SoCal. I wouldn't shit you. And then who's the other one?
Aerosmith.
Aerosmith. Believe it or not, when I got to be in Glenn Branca's Hallucination City Symphony 13.
Right.
And he told me his favorite rock band was Aerosmith. I shit thee not.
There's, It's not music I can hate as much as some people seem to want me to. Those first four records, I love them. I still love them.
What I heard about Rocks was double all the guitar licks with a baritone guitar, which is kind of a bass, right, with skinnier strings. So you get a big-ass riff, and then the Tons of Poses band kind of appropriated that, right? So you got in, tuba was not your first instrument.
No, I got a guitar of my own when I tried playing my brother's. My brother's was, it was pretty fucked up, and I didn't understand how it worked at all. I literally, even though I, you know, spent a lot of my childhood staring at MTV, I didn't know you were supposed to depress the strings. I didn't know how this sound came out, so I'd be, you know, strumming it and like, why doesn't this sound like docking, you know? No idea how to tune it, but because nobody was around who could tell me, and it didn't occur to me until around age 13 or so to actually buy books on the subject and, you know, maybe actually ask people at school who knew how to play instruments and, slowly but surely, it's like, oh, you push the strings down. I had nylon strings on my electric guitar at one point. This is how cool this up.
that I've never heard of that before. So, but there was like no formal like teacher kind of thing.
No, not. I mean, unless you count those 2 years, you know, learning tuba and singing in the choir in high school. No formal teaching of any kind. Yeah.
So you just muscled your way through the guitar. Eventually you found the power chord.
For sure. And of course, you know, once you're there, you can play a million things and, you know, you're all set.
All the Kiss, all the Black Sabbath.
Absolutely. I played it half both.
And then, hey, you're halfway there. You've got the top part of the bar chord, right? So, what about the shit, like after school, not graduating, but in the afternoon with the buddies, like the basement band, the bedroom band, the garage band?
Sure. No, I was in two or three bands in high school. None of them ever, aside from playing, you know, in the garage for four or five of our friends or, you know, bandmates, girlfriends or whatever, we never played any shows. But, yeah, no, there was a bunch of that going on. There was a band I joined as the bassist, actually, because I'd gotten a bass at some point.
Whoa. All right. And what kind? I'm a little prejudiced here. What kind of bass?
I don't know. It was out of the you remember the Finger Hut catalogs?
Sure.
It was out of the Finger Hut catalog, and I honestly couldn't tell you. I'm sure it had a name somewhere on the headstock or something, but I honestly could not tell you what kind of bass it was. It was and I was terrible. I didn't have a concept of what the bass was supposed to do.
Even though you did so, you hadn't been on the tuba yet.
Not yet. No, this is before that, for sure. This is more like 9th grade, 10th grade, somewhere in there.
Did this band do gigs?
No.
Practice band. I'm curious. Did you copy songs off records, or did you guys try writing your own material?
Both. We did a lot of, I think we played a lot of Nirvana and Black Sabbath. I tried to get them to play like Kiss and Led Zeppelin songs, but that was too something for them. I don't know what. But a lot of Nirvana and Black Sabbath, I remember. We did a mean Symptom of the Universe.
Were you part of the, when you did try to write your own songs, were you part of that process?
Initially, no. What wound up happening is I started out in the band as the bassist, and a year and a half later, by the end, I was the, I guess, main songwriter and lead guitarist. I sort of infested the band like a parasite and
took over
and tried to make them, you know, by that time I was getting into, you know, wilder and weirder rock and noisier stuff. And by the end we were sort of like a really, really shitty noise rock band, you know, much to the chagrin of one or two of the members.
The other members. What was this band called, Scott?
We had a few different names. The first one, when I was still a bassist, it was called Euphoric Effect. And then eventually, by the end, I think it Winter Trip was the name of the band.
Yes, the testicle moves to the brain. So what about the first gig? Was this band the... Were you first... No, it was a practice band.
No, right. It was just a practice band. I mean, we sort of half-assedly tried, but we didn't know anybody. I mean, this was... The band was based even further into the country than I grew up, so we didn't know any Portland people or anybody with any places to play. Weirdly, though, one of the members had a stage in his front yard because his father was a drug dealer. He had all this money, but he lived in a trailer. But he spent his money on a really nice sound system, and he built a stage in his front yard, and he would have these concerts, these pig roasts, every summer. Now, we never got to play one of these because we didn't have our shit together enough, but it was pretty cool because he, you know, invite all the Portland rock bands up, and some of them would actually say, yes, sure, I'll go play in the town is Raymond, a bit north of where I am now. And yeah, but we never, it was just a lot of practicing.
Okay, that's all right.
A lot of arguing. A lot of being overly serious and not really getting anywhere with it. And
What about record?
Oh yeah, we recorded tons of stuff. I got four track for my 16th birthday, so there's a lot of material.
So you start learning how to record yourself really early. That's great.
For sure, and that's really where once I always feel like a bastard when I say this, but once I realized that I could make my own album. You know, once I heard about the concept of a four track, I don't remember where, but I was like, oh shit, I kind of just want to do all this on my own. And,
right.
You know, immediately I'm making solo recordings and planning a solo album, which I eventually did release when I was 16, I think.
Sound on Sound, Les Paul. It's an old tradition. Yeah. Well, you know,
yeah, for sure.
One man band.
It was kind of liberating.
Absolutely. So let me play. I want to play Faded Sign right now.
Oh, fantastic.
Moving on. Not everybody's obsessed with a new thing. Not everybody's obsessed. Maybe to you they look stuck when fading sun allows them to sun. Be quite lovely, be quite lovely. Faded sun, sign that was left on the sun. Sign that nobody bothered or nobody wanted to repair or replace or repaint or replace or reprint. Faded sun, faded sun from a long closed business, a long closed business, a long closed business. Faded sun from a long closed business. Some of the people driving by, some of the people driving by, some of the people driving by, they have memories. Some of them have several memories, they have memories. Some of them have several memories, several memories of going into the business, looking around the business. Some of them remember the smell of the business, some of them remember the look of the business. Some of them remember a corner of the store that nobody really acknowledged, that there was nothing, just a little corner, just a little something, just a little corner that they stared off at, that they stared off at for a moment. Maybe they remember that, maybe they remember a corner of the store that nobody really bothered, nobody really bothered, nobody really bothered. A crack on the wall that nobody really saw, nobody really saw, nobody really saw. Faded sign, faded sign, faded sign, a sign that nobody bothered to repair or replace or reprint or repress or repaint. Faded sign, allowed to fade in the sun. Time fades, sun fades, time fades, sun fades. Maybe they didn't want to replace it, maybe they didn't want to repair it, maybe they didn't want to repaint it. Not everybody's obsessed with making it new, not everybody's obsessed with making it nice. Not everybody needs the novelty, not everybody needs to update. Not everybody needs to drop everything old and only have new, and drop everything old and have everything new. Faded sign, faded sign, sign that was allowed to sit in the sun and fade. Sign that was allowed to sit in the sun and fade. Not everybody's obsessed with the new thing, moving on with the new thing. Not everybody needs a new thing. Maybe they seem stuck, maybe they're just fine. Maybe to you they seem stuck, maybe you're just fine. Maybe they're just fine. Faded sign, fading in the sun, fading in the sun, fading in the sun. Sun on the side of a long closed business, long closed business, long closed business, long closed business, soon to be demolished and replaced, 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 soon to be demolished and replaced. 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 Soon to be demolished.
want you to do is guess my age. 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 Win a date with Adam Theft Table. Guess his age. Guess my age. Guess my age. Guess my age. 75. Guess my age. Guess my age. Guess my age.
I brought in my laundry.
Roy, you're 34.
TJ Maxx and Marshalls now for twice the labels you love for less.
Buckles! Buckles!
Stop! A mirror on the floor and I bled on it. I laid a mirror on the floor and I bled on it. I laid a mirror on the floor and I bled on it. I made love over the mirror and I bled on it. I made love over the mirror and I bled on it. I was menstruating. I made love over the mirror and I bled on it. I bled on it. My blood is, I got my blood on me. I got my blood on me. I made love over a mirror and I bled on it. I see two people with blood stained on the mirror, sir. I got the mirror out of the turret. I got the mirror out of the turret. I got the press the turret out of the mirror and I tried the blood and lick it on my tongue. I bled the mirror on my tongue. I licked the mirror off. 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 I licked the mirror off.
Do it, do it, do it, do it. You can do it, go back and do it. You can do it, go back and do it. Do it, do it, 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 do it. Do it dust on the ground. And you take it to the mirror, take the record to the ground. Take it to the fucking, take the fucking to the mirror, take the fun. Take it to the fun, you're just a job. And what we do, dust up, dust up, the mirror, dust up, the fucking face. Blast yourself, stop. Take it, take it, take it, take it, mirror, dust up, blast yourself, stop. Take it, take it, take it, take it, mirror, dust up,
I was trying to hit it with it, but Thanks, guys. That's good.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Thank you.
Show that chunk of music started with Inimthethable, Faded Sign. To back after that, Mr. Tom's got a new record out of Pittsburgh, Half Tengu is the tune. Inimthethable, Guess My Age. And this is live. Yeah, it sounds like a contest was going on. win a date. Yeah. Bombus Brendan from the D.C. area with Wet and Drive Heave To. The old maritime there. And then finally, Inimthethable, Babs Bridge. Is there such a bridge in Maine there?
There is. It's a very, very New England-y covered bridge that I grew up about a 10-minute walk away from. And, I recorded some of the album in the bridge, and definitely that track, a bunch of that track was recorded in the bridge. You know, a lot of just bringing a digital recorder out there and improvising, banging on the side of the bridge, you know, whipping. I had a long stick I was whipping the air with, and
those are good sounding things. Sometimes a tube, right?
For sure, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I've used those.
Okay, here's what trips me out. Okay, you got the heavy metal brother influence. You got these guys that you end up taking over their band. And then you say you release a solo 4-track album.
Yeah.
When you're 16, is this under your own name?
No, it was my initial performing name was Dick the Table. It evolved into Idem the Table eventually.
Okay. That's an anagram. That's a great name. Yeah, because I want to understand this. And this transition is you discovering technology where you don't have to deal with personalities and stuff. You can...
Right.
Yeah, right. Okay, so when is the first Inimthethable gig?
That would be 18 years old, I would say, was the first one. I finally... Because over those years, I just went more and more and more into the noise and avant-garde world. I was more and more excited about that, to the point where, you know, I was putting out albums pretty regularly, and somehow I finally found another person here in Maine who was interested in such things. And I emailed him. I had the internet by then, and immediately he writes back. He's like, "Oh my God, there's another person here in Maine. We've got to do a show right now." And like, wait, do a show? Because by that point, I kind of thought, no, I'll be one of these composers who makes music on tape, and I'll, you know, I guess I still wanted to play live, but I more started thinking of myself as like a composer, sort of distant from the live element, which is crazy given how things turned out, because I think I'm much better known now as a live performer. But yeah, so this guy kind of goaded me into doing my first live show, and it was not great, but it was a good experience.
Now, should this goater be named?
It was a guy. He was only active for what turned out to be a brief period of time, but he had this noise project called Brxtnle, B-R-X-T-N-L-E. He was around maybe late 90s until maybe the very, very early 2000s. It was like a 3-4 year pocket, but I owe him a debt of gratitude.
Yeah, well, sometimes that happens. You know, Arthur Rimbaud did poems for only a couple of years. He was like fucking running guns in Abyssinia or some shit. You know, some dudes are in it for the long haul, but some dudes, it's just a little shift in their journey.
Right.
And I don't think, you know, it's just the way it is, right? I don't think those are good or bad. But this cat, he did have an effect on your life. So in some ways, he's kind of living on while you keep making music.
Sure. No, it's great. There's been a lot of, when I think back over the arc of my history, I owe a lot to people who have more or had more gumption than I did, because I was very shy. I would, you know, it wouldn't have even occurred to me to contact someone and be like, "Hey, can I put on a show?" Like, I had needed someone else to do it for me initially before I realized, like, oh, this is possible. In fact, you can do this over and over and over, and it turns out hundreds and thousands of times. But I was just so painfully shy at that age that there's no way I would have even tried to do it on my own.
Yeah, even if somebody tells you, right, you have to realize it yourself to really understand.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right. It's you got to internalize it with everything, really. I mean, you know, you can intellectually know something, but until it actually happens, until you're actually there, yeah.
It's still a theory. It's just hanging there. Like, where's the wall? I don't know. Try pushing against it, motherfucker.
Get to know it.
Okay. We're at the end of the first hour. March 22, 2021. Watch Peter's special guest, Scott from Idem Theftable. Hold tight for hour two. March 22, 2021. It's the second hour. Watch for Peter's show.
At 34,
it would swear. Goodbye, stranger.
I'm 32. We 34 Supertramp. Goodbye, stranger. About at 35, go go. At 34, Super Tramp. Goodbye, stranger. And at 23, Tin Lizzy, the boys are back in town. And now in position 32, the artist who grew up.
Sunset, 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 sunset. Sunset, 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 sunset,
ass, plus ass, ass, one, plus ass, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, plus ass, one, one, plus, one, one, plus, sticking ass, fold, ass, thrown, ass, fold, ass, quick, fold, fold, not so smooth, fold, ass, quick, one, fold, ass, quick, one, fold, ass, sticking to the seat, smooth, 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 not as smooth as used to be, an ass, quick, to the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, the fold, the thing, the ass, sticking to the seat, ass, folding to the seat, ass, falling to the seat, ass, merges with the seat, ass, falling to the seat, ass, falling to the seat, merge, 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 ass, sticking to the seat, ass, falling to the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, nothing to the seat, ass, visit to the seat, ass, not as smooth as it was, ass, not as smooth as it used to be, ass, not as smooth as it used to be, ass, not as smooth as it used to be, ass, not as smooth as it used to be, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, still, 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 fine, 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 ass, sticking to the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, full, 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 ass, sticking to the seat, time, pull, skin, down, time, pull, skin, down, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, folding to the seat, legs, legs, new, ass, fold, hangs, new, ass, fold, cellulite, ass, fold, ass, fold, cellulite, ass, fold, legs, sticking to the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, my ass, sticking to the seat, not as smooth as it used to be, 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 ass, sticking to the seat, ass, fold, to the seat, not as smooth as it used to be, time, pull, time, pull, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, folding to the seat, ass, merging to the seat, fast, pushing, fast, pushing, fast, pushing, fast, pushing, fast, pushing, fast, pushing, ass, folding to the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, head, fold, legs, fold, legs, fold, thighs, fold, cellulite, eyes, fold, eyes, fold, cellulite, eyes, fold, legs, fold, eyes, fold, not as smooth as it used to be, not as smooth as it used to be, time, pull, time, pull, time, pull, time, pull, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, pull up to the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, time, pull, time, pull, time, pull, time, pull, ass, sticking to the seat, time pulls, face, face, time pulls, ass, ass, time sticking to the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, summer ass, summer ass, summer ass to the seat, summer thighs to the seat, peeling from the seat, seat, peeling from the seat, too, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, pull up from the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, time pulls, time pulls, time pulls, time pulls, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, pull up from the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, time pulls, crinkle folds, skin folds, crinkle folds, skin folds, it's alright, skin folds, skin folds, skin folds, crinkle folds, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, folded to the seat, not as smooth as it used to be, 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 ass, sticking to the seat, 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 not as smooth as it used to be, not as smooth as it used to be, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, fold, time fold, time fold, time fold, time fold, time fold, ass, folded to the seat, 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 time fold, time fold, time fold, time fold, time pull, time pull, time pull, time pull, ass, sticking to the seat, crinkle, 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 ass, fold, ass, fold, ass, fold, ass, fold, time sticking to the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, time fold, time pull, time pull, time pull, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, crinkling to the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, time fold, say your life, time fold, say your life, can't see your ass, but you wonder, you can't see your ass, but you wonder, ass, sticking to the seat, say your life, ass, fold, what do I look like naked? What do I look like naked? Ass, sticking to the seat, crinkle, 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 fold, 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 not as smooth as it used to be, 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 ass, sticking to the seat, ass, peeling from the seat, fine, feeling from the seat, summer thighs, 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 it's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, pull up from the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, time, fold, fold, time, time, fold, fold, time, time, fold, fold, time, time, pull, time, pull, time, pull, time, pull, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, smooth as it used to be, not as smooth as it used to be, not as smooth as it used to be, time, pull, 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 ass, sticking to the seat, ass, falling to the seat, ass, folding to the seat, time, pull, time, pull, time, pull, time, pull, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, falling from the seat, ass, falling from the seat, time, pull, time, pull, crinkle, 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 not as smooth as it used to be, not as smooth as it used to be, ass, sticking to the seat, not as smooth as it used to be, time, pull, time, pull, skin, fold, skin, fold, time, pull, time, pull, crinkle, crinkle, skin, fold, skin, fold, skin, fold, lines, lines, ass, sticking to the seat, ass, sticking to the seat, not as smooth as it used to be, tell your life, time, pull, some time, pull, some time, pull, some time, pull, ass, sticking to the seat, that means you use your ass, that means you use your ass, that means you use your ass.
Pedro, shall we start off the second hour in Infestable with Sunset, 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 Sunset. The Network Glass out of Baltimore. Door doing some trippy stuff. PSO 07. And Time Pulls, Infestable. So, Infestable, after that gig with that guy, and then I guess it was only a brief thing, and then you're back Man Alone.
Right.
Are you searching? Or do you have influences? Are you just floating? What's going on?
Well, there were in Portland. There was in the late 90s. There, which is my late teens. There were a very small handful of people into out there shit that I kind of gradually met one by one. As I said, I was super duper shy, so it took some goading and time, and you know. But playing these shows. I played that first show, you know, whatever, 6-7 people show up, it's fun, but those 6-7 people all know other people, and they're like, oh, well, you should play here, you should do this, and very quickly, it blossomed into something else. I met probably, the two critical people I met would be my friends Shay Mowat and a gentleman named Crank Sturgeon, who is a noise artist of some renown. Not as many people know Shay, but he's got a pretty low profile. But those two were both, I would say, both big influences and big just in terms of... Crank was a guy, he was in his late 20s, and he was an influence insofar as I was like, wow, there's a guy, he's in his late 20s, he's still making this out there stuff, and he... has a successful looking life, you know. I wasn't sure if there was going to be a point when, well, I'm 22 now, I've hit the wall, you know, nobody's going to pay me to do this, so I might as well stop or something like that. It was nice to have some examples of older folks who weren't famous, but who were thriving and subsisting and, you know, living their life and leaving room for their, you know, art, their music, their noise, whatever. And so having him as an example was really nice and kind of put a little wind in my sails and made me feel a little bit less like an alien, I guess.
But have respect for Crank and Shay. You didn't want to, like, be a Xerox, right? You wanted to find the fucking Scott way or Idem Thug.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, no, those three guys, we all did avant-garde, whatever you want to call it, stuff. But those are three different avenues for sure right there with some overlapping interests, overlapping textures and so on. But, so it was more the influence was more just knowing that there were people with whom, you know, people in Maine with whom I could feel simpatico with and feel a sense of camaraderie, you know, because I thought if I wanted to do that, I would have to move to some big city somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I heard there used to be a lot of that in the old days. Oh, I live in this fucking podunk, so that's
right.
My excuse. I'm going to feel sorry for myself. Now we got internet. You can't use that anymore, people.
That
crutch is gone.
It is amazing how often I run into people, people older than me, who will say, so you live in Maine. This is an actual quote somebody said to me once. So do you, you live in Maine. How could you possibly exist creatively in Maine? What in the fuck are you talking about?
Assholes.
These
are also, there's people like that, kind of like that, that have opinions. They know how these places are and how the culture and people are. And they've never been there.
Yeah, for sure.
Fucking just dicks.
Have a caricature of a caricature of a caricature.
Yeah, right. We call that the cascade fuck. In some ways, it can be good. Like, those seven people going to the gig and telling people, that's when the Cascade Fuck is good. When it's like bigoted prejudice shit like this, it's lame. I want to play ripping my arm hair out. I didn't get any cooler.
Too hot in the classroom. and not feeling any cooler.
Watch the Pedro Show. We started that chunk of music off with ripping my arm hair out. I didn't get any cooler. Inimitable. Then Slang from Hokkaido over in Japan with Move Ahead. And then, Scott, this one was such a fucking big one. I had to split it in two parts. So we're going to hear the first part where you just did. And we'll hear
right.
the second part at the beginning of the third hour. But a glockenspiel and two Balinese xylophones left out in the rain. This is the first part. So enlighten the people to that first ripping my heart.
Oh, the track. Well, it's the title was literally a description of something I did when I was maybe second, third grade, where I felt really hot in school. And I don't know what particular mental illness I might be revealing here, but I my solution to being hot was starting to rip my arm hair out in the middle of class while the teacher was talking, and did not make me feel any cooler whatsoever.
So people, the lesson here is save your memories because they might end up source material for your fucking expression.
For sure. No. They always come out, especially in the throes of an improvisation. That's a well I go to again and again.
Okay,
and again.
Improvisation. Because you were talking about, I want to be a composer. And that, like, this was vis-a-vis being a performer. But
right.
with improvised music, performance is a big part, huh? Even though no one was there,
Absolutely.
Even for the recording.
Right. Well, I evolved over time to really love and maybe prefer being an improviser. And now pretty much all of my music has an improvised element to it in some way. I mean, there are, you know, structures that I'll work within sometimes. Sometimes it'll be completely off the cuff. Like the ripping my arm hair out was a total improvisation. It became such a huge part of what I do. Certainly live, it's almost pretty much always at least 70-80% improv now.
Okay, what about, in a way, that's a form of composition. Even when people say, oh, that's random, that's a form of order, right? It's a random order.
Yeah.
So it is a way of composing. It's maybe not so traditional, but it's in the moment. It's changing second to second or millisecond, whatever. What about equipment? How important is that in your world?
Well, I'm not I'm by no means a gearhead. I mean, I do – I'm really interested in objects, amplifying objects. I have an amplified Surface that I have at most shows that I play, which is basically just a piece of wood with a contact mic on it and a bunch of stuff attached to the piece of wood. There's a spring and bits from music boxes and all kinds of pieces of metal that you can bow, stuff like that. But it's, in terms of like high tech gear, like I have a very nice microphone since a lot of what I do is vocal. But I don't have any, beyond that, I'm really very amateurish, very novice when it comes to knowing about gear. So
I'm really glad to hear that because your sounds, your music is very, for me, very organic. You know what I mean? It's not just some shtick. That's so tied to materialism and objects. And, gear, like you said, this word gearhead. Fetish, right? Almost fetish.
It's weird. I just do not understand it. Like, there are some people who are gearheads who do really interesting work, but there are also people who their sets kind of seem like just demonstrations of really fancy gear and little more. I've never been that guy. And yeah, it is pretty organic. There are a lot of fidelities. I willingly will, yes, I do have nice microphones and whatnot, but I also have tape recorders that I'll use in my work and, I'll intentionally, kind of steer things in a more primitive fidelity, I guess.
The first place I heard a contact mic on a board, there was a band in the 70s opening up for somebody at an arena rock show called Carmen. And they had a late kind of flamenco, maybe they were even from Spain, but they had a lady dancing, and that's how they got her, she's part of the percussion section.
Oh, fantastic. That sounds amazing. I'm going to write this down. Carmen.
But I saw some real flamenco, 8 years ago in Seville, Spain. And the dancing is, and also the people sitting around them, their family members, they're clapping. They're part of the whole gig. It's a trip.
This sounds fantastic. Was it just, where did you happen upon it?
Seville, I guess we say Seville, but they say Sevilla.
Right. But like where in the city was it?
It was in the old Jewish quarter. It was free to get in. The cervezas were like a euro. I mean, it was totally cano, no PA. It was a man singing from Cordoba, right? It's kind of like the blues music. It's kind of Morocco, Spain, and Gypsy all mixed together. One guy on guitar, and then this Moorish lady, no smiling, and dancing, you know, and building it up. And then they got her going with the music, and she'd start kicking up her heels. I mean, it made me cry, because D. Boone really loved flamenco.
Right. Oh, man. That sounds beautiful. I got to see it. It's one of those things that you know, like we were talking about earlier, you don't know it until you actually experience it. You know, you can read about it, you can watch a YouTube video about it, but until you're there and in that space, and especially, you know, properly in Spain and all, that sounds beautiful, man.
That's why I'm a devotee to music. I think music is a powerful art form.
100%. It
really is. Yeah, it's not just some, yeah. But you're very inspiring, too. Okay. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, March 22, 2021, at Dishwap Pedo Show. Special guest, Scott from Idom Festival. Hold tight for hour three. March 22, 2021. It's the third hour. Watch for Pedo Show. Show started the third hour off with part two of a Glockenspiel and two Balinese xylophones left out in the rain. Great piece. You know, great piece.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then after that, Tommy Dahill from Alaska. Well, that's kind of far out. Well, even way further than the port side, Portland.
Oh, yeah.
The Fanamach. And this is Gaelic, and so I'm destroying yet another language, people. I'm very sorry. Fuck. And finally, Inimitable with O Moon, True False, Check Only One. What about titles? How important is it in your compositions?
It's some of the most fun I have, to be honest with you, is, you know, because fairly often when I'm making stuff, I'm not, you know, I don't have any notion like I'm setting out to make a piece about this or a song about that or a recording about that. I just kind of, I make stuff and make stuff and make stuff all the time. And then I go back and kind of feel like an archaeologist of myself. Like, what is this? What is this about? What does this remind me of? What was this going on in my life when I made this? And, you know, then from that information, I try to, you know, cobble together a title of some kind that makes some sort of sense. Sometimes it's hard and I don't really have a title, but usually it's a lot of fun.
What's consistent though is titles come last.
Yes, that is true.
Like the one about being in school and ripping the arm hair off. Yeah, you didn't set off to write that; it just came to you after you listened back to the music.
In that case, that was just what came into my head while I was performing. So that one was an easy one because I was almost using the memory like a graphic score where, you know, I'm just kind of like riffing on off of that sensation, off of that feeling. And that's where that came from. So that one, probably I could say, you know, at least the idea occurred to me while I was playing, if not the specific title. But, the title would definitely be something in reference to that moment.
Did you hear about the Mills College closing?
I did. Yeah, no, I've got a lot of friends who had gone there over the years.
Can I ask your opinion about institutional, in this kind of pioneering kind of musical work? How important do you think?
It's interesting because I am, for context, I'm 100%, I didn't go to college. I, you know, was not formally trained in anything. I have no academic credential of any kind. Totally self-taught and so on.
Mark Twain, right? Only grade school.
Yeah. But at the same time, I was heavily influenced by a lot of work, both work that was, you know, not academic at all, and a lot of stuff that really, really was. Because, you know, my first source of sort of out there experimental music was the Portland Public Library. And what they had tended to be kind of wild stuff, more on the composer, more like avant-garde classical end of things. So aside from like the weird, you know, deep cuts on rock tracks and or the noisier rock bands that I was interested in, that was the first stuff, that sort of, you know, academic composed stuff. And that stuff definitely had a big influence and impact on me. In terms of what I think of it, I mean, I've heard work from those contexts that was totally stultified and boring and stiff. And I've heard work from those contexts that was just euphoric and wonderful and amazing. And, you know, I think it's just each individual that goes into that situation, you know, is going to come out of it, you know, with a different conclusion. And if they had it in their hearts, if that was kind of naturally what they wanted to do in the first place, then they're probably going to make something interesting, you know. But if it's this sort of forced thing where they're sort of, you know, because even in, you know, all realms of noise, avant-garde, whatever, there's formulas, you know, schtick. There's formulas that people follow and,
forms,
you know.
Forms of schtick.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, sometimes people just won't be able to get out of the way of those schticks.
You know what Han Bennett told me?
What's that?
He said that Lower East Side thing in Manhattan, you know, no blue notes. Look, I want to play this Dusty Erection midst peacock feathers.
little peacock. You don't pick a feather, little peacock. What a woo doo, what a woo wow. You don't pick a feather, little peacock. Don't pick a feather, little peacock. Leave that peacock alone now, now, now. Leave that peacock alone now. Leave that peacock alone now, now, now. Leave that peacock alone. Feather, little peacock. You don't take feather from the peacock. You don't take a feather from the peacock. You don't take a feather from the peacock. You don't take a feather from the peacock.
Peter Show, last music for this edition, this Dusty Erection Mitts Peacock Fest. You know, we got wild peacocks, some rich...
No shit.
You know, this, like, I wouldn't shit you, shot. About 100 years ago, this rich family from the hill, Palos Verdes, this hill just west of us, brought them from India. And now they walk through people's yards and stuff, and they're trippy. The men have the big tails and...
Yeah.
And their songs are like a cross between a human screaming and a cat. I mean, they're a trip. We do have. Then Veda Hill with Salsa on. Now, Veda Hill, she's in a British Columbia part of Canada, Vancouver, and she did a gig where all the songs are based on real Craigslist ads. And so this one's called Salsa Want. Yeah, she would just take the ads and make tunes out of this shit. Like,
that's beautiful.
And then, well, you know, you got to get your material from somewhere.
Yeah. Inacceptable. No, I love that idea.
Last music for this edition. I'm an avalanche. There was a part when I was driving. You know, the Canadians, they got Rockies too. In fact, they're even more intense. And there's signs on that road when you're going from Vancouver to Banff, I think it is. Calgary. Not Calgary. Alberta's the state. Calgary's the big town. So as you're heading towards there, and you come over, there's a lot of signs. Don't honk the horn because of avalanche.
Jesus Christ.
Lucky for us, you know, it was the summer was just ending, and so the big snows wasn't coming yet. But
imagine the first person that discovered that the horn could trigger the avalanche.
How many dudes get buried? What about collaborate?
Oh man, I mean they're pretty much after that those initial rock bands I was talking about. Pretty much all of anything I've ever done has been, you know, sort of like, call it pickup groups. I have some regular collaborators, you know, people I've been working with in some cases off and on for 20 years. But it tends to be, you know, groups of two, maybe three at most. Usually almost always improvised, almost always, you know, free improv in some way. But yeah, no, I've got a lot of great folks I've been lucky to work with.
But you're in the same room. And so you're, time. Okay. So you influence each other. What about the kind where you trade files? Do you do that kind?
I do, for sure. Not as often, but I would like to. I've actually been sort of trying to do that through the pandemic. And
That's why I brought it up, because that's one of the good things about the internet, besides spreading bullshit and lies.
Sure. No. I've done a little bit of it, but not to the extent that I would have thought, especially if I'd known this was going to go on for over a year. But it's something I've done. There's a couple artists. I get a friend in New Zealand who I've worked on, you know, through the mail projects with exclusively. I've never met the man.
I think that's great, though, because connect. It still is a connect.
100%. And I love recordings, you know, just as much as playing live. I feel like I'm personally better known as a live performer, but I'm happy. I'm a studio rat too. You know, I love staying home and seeing what happens if I you know, layer this with that or try this and that and so on. And
you do it. You don't go to a studio. It's right in your pad, right?
I think I've been a pro studio maybe once, twice. I've recorded in a pro studio.
Well, you know you have, because you got fucking charged a buttload.
Yeah, sure.
Look, and I want you to give some advice to a young person getting into music, please.
Sure. I mean, I guess I would just say, you know, whatever you like, embrace it. Like, don't let anybody or anything, you know, tell you that what you're listening to or what you're influenced by or moved by is lesser than or wrong. Because the more of the things that you love, that you're honest about and you embrace, you know, the more you're going to have a sound that's all your own, because, you know, you're taking a little bit from this and a little bit from that. And if you're only taking from influence from the pool of stuff that you're supposed to take influence from, you know, that you're going to wind up sounding like everybody else.
Coming up short.
Yeah. Right. Rather than you.
And that's great, great stuff. Look, when you do get a new batch of stuff recorded, will you come back on the show and we can talk about it?
I'd absolutely love to, Mike. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Big time. You keep on keeping on, please. People, it's been March 22, 2021 edition of WAP Pedro Show. Keep your pattern on.